Hello and welcome to the CPL newsroom. The hype video with royalty-free electronic music can only mean one thing, and that is that we are back for the 2024 Canadian Premier League season. I'm Charlie O'Connor Clark. That's Mitchell Tierney on the other side of the screen. Mitch, we're back. We are back. We had the first weekend of the 2024 season, year six in the Canadian Premier League. You know, it's good. It feels good. It feels good. Before we even get to these games and talk about what happened, we were both at games this weekend. I was in Ottawa. You're in Hamilton. Just how good was that feeling to, you know, be out there to see fans back in stadiums, to see these players on the pitch, and to finally have actual football to talk about rather than, you know, guessing at who might be good because of the signings they've made?
Yeah, well, unlike you, I can talk about the good weather as well. It was fantastic weather down at Tim Hortons Field, so that helped. A bit windy, which definitely played into the occasion as well. But I mean, it's Tim Hortons Field, that kind of comes with the territory. So that wasn't necessarily surprising, but yeah, no, it was so great to get back out there, finally get this season started. And like you said, you know, start to see some of these pieces that we've kind of imagined and prognosticated how they will do over the past few or over the next few months. But yeah, now we get to see them actually play out in action. And that's the last time I use a word with that many syllables. I mean, that
prognosticated, I was going to say, man. I think you used it right, but I'm not even going to question it. Anyway, as I mentioned, we had four games. If you guys missed it, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you should, in case you missed one or two of the games, we'll run through the scores really quickly. Atletico Ottawa 2, York United 1 out in the capital in the first game of the season. We saw Manny Aparicio score his first goal for that team. We saw Chris Twardek score his first goal for Ottawa. Austin Ricci with a goal for York. But, you know, 3 points for the home team. 3 points again for the home team in Hamilton. Forge 2, Cavalry 1. Actually kind of a similar series of events where Sergio Camargo scores for Cavalry. Forge score twice, you know, as they have been known to do, is to come from behind and win, thanks to Borges and Batty Banga. I guess it's the same ghosts haunting them as they as haunted Cavalry in the final a couple of months ago. Sorry, Cavalry. That night ended up with a Pacific 1-0 victory over Halifax, again at home. I'm in Salouf from the penalty spot. And yesterday was the fourth game of the weekend, the only game of the day, out in Langley, BC, Vancouver FC with a club record 4 goals after falling behind Valor FC. You know, Moses Dyer with his first for the team, Paris G with his first for the team, Gabby Bitar, David Norman Jr., David Norman, as he's actually being known these days, with the fourth goal, and obviously Jordy Swibel with the goal for Valor. That was a lot of football to watch in one weekend. It was a lot of fun to be back. So we've kind of gone coast to coast there. Mitchell, I think today, because, you know, again, this show is all about the games and having them backwards, going to go game by game as we often do. And we're going to start again with the way the weekend started. And that's in Ottawa, where, as you mentioned, it was cold. It was wet. It was kind of horrible outside, to be honest, if I'm being fully honest now. But it was not horrible on the pitch. Maybe Benedict can roll the highlights here of this game, which was a lot of fun, obviously a lot of excitement coming in for this game with, you know, a pretty much brand new Ottawa team. I think 5 debuts in the starting 11, a lot of new players in York as well, obviously with, you know, an offseason of change for them. Mitch, how much of this game did you see? I know you were in Hamilton, but did you get a chance to kind of get a first look at these two pretty exciting teams?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the whole thing in kind of bits and pieces. Like I caught the game kind of after the first half from York. So I saw, you know, what we will eventually see in the Atletico Ottawa comeback, and then went back and watched the first half and, you know, honestly saw how hard done York were to maybe be in that position at that point. But obviously a very entertaining game between two sides who are ambitious this year. And, you know, it took Ottawa a little bit of time to get going, as you might expect, with the side with so much, you know, turnover and so many new players playing in, you know, in some cases, some new positions. But once they did, certainly a lot to be excited about for them. And the fact that, you know, so many of these players really hit the ground running, hit the ground scoring, and, you know, took the skin off their knees if they're Chris Twardek. I think you're excited if you're Atletico Ottawa fans.
Yeah, I think there was a lot to be excited about. You know, the first half of this game, kind of mostly York, to be honest. I think they were the better team Austin Ricci spoke after the game about how he felt they could have been up 3 goals at least by halftime. He personally obviously felt pretty brutal about his miss on a wide open goal, made up for it by scoring early in the second half, but still I think he'll feel like, you know, they maybe could have put a game to bed in the first half. But Ottawa, you know, a lot of their players kind of and Carlos Gonzalez kind of talked after this game about how there were nerves in the first half. You know, there's a lot of pressure on this team. Expectations are very high in Ottawa because of, you know, all of the moves they made in the offseason, all the names they brought in, Manny Aparicio, Mateo Dubrieta, Amir Didich, Balu Tabla, all these guys. And there's pressure, as we've spoken about before, you know, on this very show when we did the season previews. So there were clearly nerves in this group. But I think once they fell behind, what kind of impressed me was something we've never really seen from Atletico Ottawa, especially in the last couple of years under Gonzalez, is they found a different gear when they fell behind. I think they had never, you know, in a CPL regular season game, fallen behind and come back to win under Gonzalez until this weekend, which is something that really impressed me. I don't know, Mitch, you've seen a lot of Ottawa teams and seen how, you know, a lot of the way they've won games in the past has been, you know, either it's you know, staying defensively sound for most of the game and finding a goal in transition, something like that. But this game, they actually were able to kind of throw an attack at York after they fall behind. They throw the kitchen sink and they find those goals and they find those dangerous spaces. What was kind of impressive to you about that?
Yeah, there's just more there in attack than there ever has been before, isn't there? I mean, you look at that first goal and you've got Balu Tabla, who can take down a ball, you know, shake off his defender and send in a good cross. You have someone like Manny Aparicio, who makes those smart late runs and is able to get in there and add numbers in the box, which is probably something that they haven't necessarily had in other years. So he's there to, you know, tap in a rebound where, again, like in other years, you know, Vincent Cini makes that save and there's no one there around to get the rebound. So that was impressive. Just the composure on that last goal. And again, you've got a fullback who's up there and in the box. That's not something that necessarily would have happened for Ottawa teams in the past. So I think there's just a lot more guys with that game-breaking ability to create chances out of nothing, but also just the positional awareness and you know, the aggressiveness to want to get up in those attacking areas. And that's exciting if you're an Ottawa fan.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about in preseason about, you know, there doesn't seem to be a way that you can put this team, you know, take this squad and put a team on the pitch to go play defensive football. It's just not possible with this group of players. And I mean, we saw it, like they both fullbacks, Mateo Dubrieta and Chris Twardek, are attacking players, right? So they had, I think Gonzalez said they had something like 6 attacking players on the pitch in this game to start. And that's, you know, it's got to be fun as a coach to be able to put those players on the pitch together, but it dictates that this necessarily has to be an attacking team. I want to talk about Manny Aparicio, though. You know, this is the second year in a row that he is a big story of the opening weekend. Obviously, he scored for Pacific in that derby to start last year. This time, yeah, exactly, the shush in the fans. That was a big moment early in the year last year. This time, it's Aparicio making his debut in new colors. Got to be honest, still looks weird to see him in an Ottawa shirt.
Weird, yeah.
Not quite used to that yet, but you know, we'll get there. But again, he just rocks. Manny Aparicio is so good and so much fun to watch. You know, the way he covers chances or covers ground. You know, the way he, especially the second goal, the way he wins the ball in the box, drives to the byline, and then you can kind of see just the difficulty it must have taken to, you know, get his foot on the ball just in time before it goes over the line, get such a good touch on it with the outside of his right foot and have it land right at Twardek's foot for him to put it in the goal. That was just such a cool moment. And you know, obviously him being a big story, Carlos Gonzalez was asked about Manny after the game and I really liked his answer. So I think if possible, we want to roll that clip and see what he had to say.
He's pure energy. He's a contagious player. He's a player that maybe the rest are not playing in the better level, and he creates good synergies and good dynamics into the game. You know, as I say, I'm very happy having players like Manu, players like Didich, players like Chris, like Mateo. You know, this sense of belonging, this type of players that they wanted to be here, you know, this season. This is very important to have that. They had many offers, they had many opportunities to be in other places, but they decided to be here. And those are the things that make the difference at the end of the day.
Pure energy and a contagious player. That fires me up. And I think that's something that other coaches have said about Manny before, right? This is the player he is.
Well, speaking about that, producer Benny on fire, contagious energy as well. That was a quick pickup on that clip. Impressive from him. But yeah, no, definitely agree on Aparicio. You know, this is why we thought he'd be such an impact player with Atletico Ottawa, and to be able to show it right away. And like you said, you know, that touch to keep the ball in, it looked a lot like his former Pacific teammate, Marco Bustos, maybe learned a little bit from him there. It had kind of those comparisons. So yeah, an incredible moment for him, and you know, the signature moment from opening weekend for Atletico Ottawa, certainly.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think a huge weight off Atletico Ottawa's shoulders to get that win. If they'd lost at home to start the year, I think maybe the doubt starts to creep in. You know, those voices in your head that you can't make go away. And I think, you know, it might have been able to snowball into a difficult start to the season. But to get off the ground like that is really positive. Just to put a bow on this game, let's wrap up with York, who I thought again played pretty well, especially in the first half. Again, we've talked a lot about how Ottawa's a new team. York is a pretty much brand new team as well. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 4 debuts in the starting 11. Would have been live 5 math. Tune in to watch Charlie do math on air. It would have been 5 debuts in the starting 11 if Frank Stirring hadn't been hurt in warmups. But no, Abatne comes in. We know that he's a reliable player for this team. But you know, what did you see from York, and you know, what reasons did you see for optimism in this group?
Well, they started really well, which was an issue last season. They came out the better of the two sides, score the first goal, have a lot of good chances, and clearly I think this is going to be a team that's able to create chances this year. They have a lot of those players who can move the ball through midfield, move the ball up quick. You mentioned voices in your head, though. The concern is they did 2.2 expected goals in that game, which is the most of any club this weekend, including Vancouver, who scored 4, and they scored just 1. And if you're, you know, Brian Wright, we talked about it, he missed like 15 big chances last year. He had a couple there, and you could see on the second one, like, he was so frustrated. And a turning point moment maybe in this match is Austin Ricci's in alone, and obviously he just scored, so you give him some credit there to take on that opportunity, but he could have easily squared to Brian Wright. Then it's 2-0. Who knows if Ottawa can get back. It would have been so big for them if they could have gotten Wright up and running to open the season. But that being said, again, they created a lot of chances. You like to see that early in the year, that they're doing well offensively. Ricci, again, really looks up for it this year. And if he can stay healthy, he'll be a massive player for them. I liked what I saw. But they really need to be able to put games to bed like this. That's going to be critical.
Yeah, yeah. 14 shots for York. Again, a team where, you know, that it we can see the signs, we can see what they're trying to do, and it'll be, you know, a test for them to just start putting that ball on the net, which was, again, a problem at times last year. Let's move on from this game to Hamilton, where, you know, we saw Forge and Cavalry again. It always seems to be them. It's a final rematch. We're seeing the highlights now, but Mitchell, you were there at this game, so maybe let you take it away and tell me, you know, what you noticed from you know, this latest edition of the Forge Cavalry rivalry.
Yeah, stop me if you've heard this before. Cavalry come out, they're the better side. They press Forge really well. Line up in a back three with Cobza and Klomp and Montgomery, and they're able to, you know, really thwart Forge attacking wise. They come out, they score the opening goal on a brilliant play, Musi to Camargo, and then Forge, as they've been known to do, it was 13 points they collected at home last season from losing positions, and they've already got 3 this year. They score 2, and it's the same 2 guys who did it in the final, just in reverse order this time, Tristan Borges and Benny Badibanga, on 2 goals that I think, considering how Cavalry defended, I think it was, you know, they limited them to those 2 shots on net, and both of them went in. They certainly would have wanted to, you know, do a little bit better on these opportunities. But at the end of the day, I mean, Forge, again, another comeback. They're going to want to start matches better, but if they can keep gaining points like this, you know, it's going to be tough to count them out again this season.
Yeah, just so so deflating for Cavalry, though, right?
For sure.
To have another lead at Tim Hortons Field. I think they had a lead in the first game of the season last year in Hamilton as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just not able to get the job done again, which is frustrating. You know, we'll get back to Forge in a second, but you got to be pretty annoyed with letting that drop of your Cavalry, right?
Oh, you absolutely have to. You know, Tommy Golden Jr. after the match said they were good, but they weren't great, and they need to be great if they want to reach the heights they were at last season. And
mm-hmm.
the one thing that maybe concerned me a little bit, one, obviously they get scored on twice, but there's not that counterpunch. Like once they got hit, you know, the thing that we wanted to see from Cavalry this year was that ability to maybe bring on some fresh faces in attack and have them go forward and create chances. And, you know, didn't really see that after Forge scored. They were able to rather comfortably see the game out. And, you know, Warshevsky and Camargo started really well. There's a lot to like there, but yeah, I thought just the second wave of attack just wasn't there for Cavalry in this match. And, you know, there was so many games that they won by one goal last year. And that's a good sign of a team that is able to see out those matches, but also they kept a lot of matches really close. And you know, mm-hmm. if they do that again this year, I think something like this might end up happening to them more often than not. So that's something that they're going to want to, again, like we said with York, like putting matches to bed is a big storyline for this first weekend because of how many leads got blown.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I don't think really reasons to panic if you're Cavalry. It's game one of the season. They're playing Forge. Obviously, you know, plenty of time, and this is a very, very, very strong team that is pretty much entirely returning after pretty much walking to the league title last year by 13 points. But again, you know, it's a similar story that we've seen before. Let's talk about Forge quickly, though. Before you know, I get more of your thoughts. So I think I want to hear the voice of Bobby Smyrniotis. It always kind of calms us down. I think it's always good to hear from him. So Benny, if you've got the clip, let's just hear what Bobby had to say after this win.
Yeah, one, it's a nice feeling to get 3 points on opening day. I've had a lot of feelings over 6 years or 5 years in the one game, so this is something that's new. So I think that's a good thing. And, you know, each game brings something a little bit different. You know, we're just talking on the way up here. In the first half, we're playing against the wind. In the second half, we're somehow playing against the wind again for half of it. And we knew that was going to play a factor because that goes into tactics on how you need to move the ball, where do you need to go, how you can go a little bit quicker. Yeah, I thought we've done a good job today. You know, if you look at those two goals, it's something we talk about and we work on quite often in training. It's something that you need to be in those zones to score goals, so I'm happy we've gotten our goals from there. And then there's been some excellent performances today, and I'll single in on Chris Colongo in goal. It's first start of the season, he's been an absolute rock, and you know, it's always good to get that performance in from him.
Yeah, Chris Colongo with a big performance for Forge. Mitch, you also singled out Maliko Olabi-Belawu, I think, after this game, and you know, obviously a lot of familiar faces in this Forge team, but who impressed you most from that group?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, like you said, Maliko Olabi-Belawu. We saw him go up against Cade Cowell in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and mm-hmm. you know, able to do a quite a good job on him. So he gets to go up against Ali Moussi, you know, one of the premier attackers in the Canadian Premier League to start this season, and does a fantastic job on him. I thought, you know, really limited him in terms of what he was able to do. You know, he had some issues with playing the ball to the back at times. You know, he gifted it to Moussi one time, and then he goes and kind of manhandles him and takes the ball right back. So there was a lot of those, a lot of last second interventions from Maliko Olabi-Belawu. And another great quote from Bobby, who was a quote machine to start this season, was, you know, Malik's a guy who just loves to play defense. Like, that's not something that we see mm-hmm. that much in modern football, where there's so many, you know, every fullback is a wing back, is all of a sudden a winger. Every center back, you know, turns into John Stones, goes into the midfield. Like, you know, even if you ask Alex Ashton Yoda Janssen what position he is, he will never let you say just central defender. He always wants to be a midfielder as well. So you've got Malik beside him, who really loves this center back role, really loves, you know, sticking in those tackles and making those big plays. And in a match like this, that was huge, especially when Forge started a little bit slow and, you know, did afford Cavalry some opportunities to have someone who was able to, you know, make those interventions was big. So like Tim, Daniel Parra, what a player. A really great ad, can invert centrally and did a really good job of that, where, you know, they drag the fullback out wide with Benny Batty Bonga and then just play a quick ball, and Parra was able to run through those channels. So another player to like. And then that Borges Batty Bonga combo, and a lot of these attacking combos are starting to click a little bit. We saw it on the goal, and that's exciting if you're Forge, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, man. Parra is an exciting player. Young, obviously, Mexican pedigree. And, you know, again, kind of fills the exact position that Forge needed in this offseason. Kind of an interesting role for Tristan Borges, I think, in this game. I think he kind of a little bit more central at times, but again, he's a very good creative player. And he's a guy that if they can get him firing this year, he could be very, very dangerous. We know how good he was, you know, a few years ago in this league. We know that last year was a bit of a frustrating one for him. You know, there were injury issues and then form issues. He couldn't necessarily lock down a spot in the team. Obviously, he came through in one moment when it mattered quite famously. But for him to get off the board immediately, or on the board, I suppose, immediately in this year is very, very good news for Forge. Let's wrap up the Saturday slate of games, though. Let's move on to the West Coast Pacific, Vancouver Island. Again, this is, you know, a game that I saw bits and pieces of while I was flying back from Ottawa. But, you know, two teams that I think I'm not sure what to make of. Definitely Pacific is a team that we were, you know, intrigued by because they've lost some big pieces this offseason and made some significant changes, I think more than they have in the last few years. But, you know, they win this one by one goal. They're outshot 13-4, you know, outpossessed pretty much 60-40 by Halifax. But, you know, the penalty, a pretty clumsy tackle from Julian Dunn that puts Pacific on the spot. And, you know, that's all they really needed, right?
Yeah, if we want to talk deja vu, like this was a lot like the playoff match where they played out in Halifax to end Halifax's season last year, where, you know, Pacific get really one moment in attack. Like if you look at their expected goals, I think a penalty is valued at like 0.76. So they had like 0.12 open play expected goals. There wasn't much in attack for Pacific, but they made their one moment count. And then defensively, really solid. Emil Gazdov, really fantastic start to the season. And that's good considering, you know, he has more really pushing him this year with Sean Melvin there. So to get off to such a confident start, and, you know, he was claiming balls really well. He made a brilliant save on Zach Fernandez. He's in our team of the week, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and fully deserved. That's really exciting. And you get some good performances at the back. You know, Ali and Dom coming in, setting up that goal in some ways with the ball in behind to Rion Moore is really positive. He looks great in possession and, you know, as advertised by James Merriman, as someone who can really help them hold the ball a little bit better and play out of the back, which is really good. And then you've got Lajeunesse and Emma Dume putting in shifts as well as young players. So it wasn't a vintage Pacific performance in terms of, you know, the attacking side of the ball, but defensively there's a lot to like and a lot to really build on there for this club.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I pulled up the XG. We're going to do more math live on air. Obviously, you know, Pacific with 0.88 expected goals in total in this game, the penalty obviously being 0.788 of them. You know, their next highest was 0.04, and Halifax had 7 chances that were worth more expected goals than that, which is kind of indicative of how this game went. But yeah, you're right. You know, seeing Pacific being able to defend like that is something that will make James Merriman very happy, especially after they've lost Amir Didic. You know, especially with, you know, young players like Paul Hamadoumi in that defense. You know, I think that there is a lot to like there. You know, it's a good game for Emil Gazdov, which is very important. But, you know, just a last word on Halifax, Mitch. I think they probably felt like they deserved at least a point from this game. And I know we'll hear from him in a second, because Patrice Geyser actually literally said that. But, you know, I think it is a lot of, you know, they do look like the Halifax we saw last year, where they're very intent on possessing the ball. They're very methodical in how they build up, and they certainly have that quality. They just need that final chance to come. And I think, again, maybe it's like they were early last year, where again they're playing very well, but the results and the goals don't necessarily fall for them. Maybe it'll be a little bit of a quicker coming together process this year, I think they'll hope. But, you know, again, this is not a lot to be worried about if you're Halifax, right?
No, I mean, you look at where they changed their team, and it's mostly an attack. I mean, you've got Telfer there, you've got Valesky, you've got Probo. These are all new guys. They're going to take some time to click together, and I think that's really what we saw. You know, they were getting into good areas. We saw some little glimpses of the kind of quality that Probo can provide in terms of balls in behind. You know, we saw Telfer have some good opportunities, but that just that last touch, the last finish, wasn't quite there. And you know, I don't think that's something that's concerning in game one of the season. If we're at game 10 of the season, then it's concerning. Game one, you know, you're more happy that they're just making these chances, you know, happen. And yeah, you start to worry about that later on.
For sure. You know, not a lot of time left, but let's just wrap up with this game by hearing from Patrice Geiser, who I know, again, is not a guy to get too high or too low after a result, but I think is taking the positives for this one. So let's hear what he had to say after this game.
We were very unlucky not to get a point out of this. It stings, it sucks, but it's the first game of the season. And, you know, for this one, it's harder to say our legs are tired because we came in a little bit earlier. But, you know, the key is that the first game of the season to see the positives. We gave up a bad PK, and I literally feel, even if you look at the stats, our passes and our chances and our game kind of started when we gave up that goal. So credit to the group to bounce back, to keep going to the last whistle, and you know, take this hunger and a little bit of passion and put it back in on Thursday. Not a lot of time to kind of sit and dwell and feel sorry about it.
All right, one more stop on our cross-country tour for opening weekend. Still in BC, Vancouver FC 4, Valor 1. This was an exciting game too. Again, you know, one where a home team wins. All four home teams won this weekend, and a third game this weekend where, you know, the away team scores first and the other side has to dig deep, and Vancouver really dug deep. Again, it's a club record 4 goals for this team. You know, I know that they had an eagle in attendance to deliver the coin. Maybe they were fired up by that. I certainly would be. But some good scenes in Langley. Mitchell, what impressed you about Vancouver FC this weekend?
Yeah, like that eagle, they took a little bit to land. But once they did, it was pretty emphatic and electric. That second half, you know, red card aside, like, there's a lot to love about how they clicked in attack and the chances they were creating. You know, we knew a lot of these guys obviously have proven it in this league before. You know, you talk about Moses Dyer, who is Valor's all-time leading goal scorer, funny enough. You know, Batar, Alejandro Diaz. This team played a lot of preseason matches in Vancouver, and maybe not against, you know, the caliber of opposition that some of the other clubs played, certainly the ones that went down to Mexico, but they played a lot together, and you could kind of see that. I mean, the attacking cohesion was really there, and in an early Canadian Premier League season where a lot of clubs have changed over, especially in attack, that little bit of cohesion is going to make a big difference, and, you know, I think we clearly saw that for Vancouver.
Yeah, I think so. So many good signs for this club. You know, Gabby Batar being up for Alejandro Diaz with 2 assists for this team. Mm-hmm. His first 2 assists for Vancouver. You know, that's really good. You know, him developing a partnership with Moses Dyer would be huge for that team. You know, Paris G was phenomenal, again, as he often is. You know, a very, very positive way to start the season if you're Vancouver, a team that obviously has been very deliberate in its recruitment this offseason. You know, a lot of Vancouver guys in this group. What is this? And 2 of the goals were from new Vancouver-born players to this group in G and David Norman. But certainly very exciting. What of Valor, Mitch? I mean, this is, again, a team that we didn't really know what to make of in the offseason. Again, another team that's very, very different from what they looked like last year. You know, quite a few new players to the CPL. Players that, you know, have been at other teams and have come to look for kind of more minutes, for a bigger opportunity at Valor. You know, Sean Hundahl obviously played for Vancouver last year, and here he is in Valor colors again, playing against his old club. What did you make of this team? And do you think there's, you know, progress or signs of hope for this group?
I think the first half was a sign of progress. I mean, you can clearly see the way they want to play when, mm-hmm. you know, things click well in terms of having Alarcon and Antonoglu really dictating play from out wide. You know, Zweibel looks like a great add in terms of, you know, his finishing ability and what he can add in the center. Verhoeven, you know, adds a little bit more quality in the center of the park and able to pick out some of those passes that they're going to need going forward. So there was a lot to like in the first half particularly, but, you know, those are some really tough times to allow goals, obviously, you know, late in the mm-hmm. first half, and then they allow one, you know, literally on one of the first few kicks of the second half. So that's always going to be a gut punch. And then defensively, I mean, this looked like a back line that's never played together before. Let's be quite honest. Like, there was some real disorganization. And on almost all those goals, you know, they're all back. They're all there in those positions, but they still don't get to the Vancouver players quick enough. And, you know, they weren't always sure who to step and who should stay. And that's going to take time. That's going to take communication. And I think that was probably the bigger concern for me is you've got five defenders back and Vancouver's still getting open looks. So that's what they're going to have to really, you know, take a hard look in the mirror and figure that out.
Yeah, obviously really tough to concede, you know, right before and right after halftime. It's, you know, as you said, kind of a gut punch and hard to kind of recollect yourself after that. But they kind of let the floodgates open a little bit and it got out of hand. Just a couple more things to take care of on the show this week as we wrap up. You know, let's start with putting the standings up there. I know it's only been 1 week, but I'm sure Vancouver FC fans would be quite happy to see their club atop the table for the first time in club history, I believe. You know, that plus three goal difference is keeping them ahead of the other three winning teams this week. And obviously we've got another slate of games coming very shortly next week. We actually start with a Canadian championship game on, I think, Thursday or Tuesday, April. No, that's next week. That's next week. Sorry, I can't.
On our math and on our schedule reading.
Game on Thursday, though, when Vancouver take on Halifax, 7 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock p.m. Atlantic time. If you're a Wanderers fan, so get the coffee out for that one. Friday night, it's Pacific and Valor at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Atletico Ottawa at home again on Saturday with a 2 o'clock kickoff against Cavalry FC. And then finally on Sunday, we've got York United hosting Forge FC at 4 o'clock at York Lions Stadium in their home opener, the first 905 derby of the year. Lots to be excited about this week, Mitch. Not a Canadian championship. I got a little too excited. That's next week. And there's only one game next week anyway. The rest of the game's the week after on May 1st. But, you know, I love the Canadian championship. I got overexcited. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. It might happen again. Anyway, the last couple of things that we're going to do this year on the show. First of all, we're going to pick our winners of the week. Mitch, this can be a player. It can be a team. It can be a concept, a vague, you know, nebulous idea that you have that's your big winner of the week. We're going to do this every week, and I will let you go first so that I have to pick one on the fly.
Sounds good. I'll go for Vancouver-born players making their hometown return. You know, we saw David Norman drop the junior and score a goal. Paris G, obviously, having a man-of-the-match performance. So many of those other guys that just came in and looked great. And to be able to start the year with a big win at home is massive for that club and huge for those guys to get to celebrate in that way.
Yeah, speaking of massive, I think my winner of the week is going to be Chris Twardek. You know, scoring at home, you know, in your hometown on your debut for the first time he's ever played professionally for a hometown club, and he scores a winner in his debut. Absolutely rips the skin off his knees with the slide down in front of the section where I think he had about 100 friends and family in attendance. That guy was very, very happy after the game, so I'm very happy to. It's always nice to see a smile on a player's face, especially like that, and you know how much it means. So,
I was gonna say just quickly everyone go watch Charlie's interview with him, A, because it's great, and B, like that was the first thing I checked was I looked at his knees, and yeah, there is no skin on him.
No,
and, yeah,
Yeah, the poor guy like limped into the press conference room after. He said he had like a Charlie horse just on top of one of his knees as well, and they're just dripping. Oh, poor guy, but you know, worth it. I think he would say that he would do that 10 times out of 10 if he'd given the opportunity to again. Anyway, the last thing we're going to do here, we are running a little bit longer than expected, but we always have some room for stoppage time. And what that's going to be this year is the one and only producer Benedict Rhodes is going to join us here on the show for a couple of minutes of stoppage time. I think we've got a couple questions that we've gotten from CPL followers and listeners. So we're gonna do a bit of a mailbag segment every week on this show. So again, make sure you send in your questions for next week when you've got them. Benny, we will let you take the floor.
Yes, sir. We have four questions from the audience. We'll start with Jason on Twitter, who asks, what, if anything, surprised you on match day one?
Surprised me. Mitchell, you can go first so I can think.
I'll say just how, again, how cohesive Vancouver looked in attack. I mean, scoring four goals right away for a team that struggled to do so at times last year was very impressive.
I think I was surprised by, again, Atletico Ottawa being able to flip a switch and play a different kind of football within a game after falling behind. That's something we haven't seen from them very often, and I think maybe the biggest positive sign from them this week.
The next one comes from a former host of the CPL Newsroom, Marty Thompson, who asks, what will it take over the next 2 to 3 Atletico Ottawa games to convince you that they're on the same level as the teams of Forge and Cavalry?
I mean, for me, I don't think that is something that I can see over 2 to 3 games. You know, what's made Forge and Cavalry so good in this league is their consistency and their ability to do it over the course of a season. So, you know, if Ottawa go ahead and win their, you know, the 3-0 to start the season, it's still gonna, you know, it'll be mid-season. If they're on the top of the table in July, then I'll be like, yeah, this is for real. And obviously I'm not saying they're not, and I absolutely expect them to probably be around that, but again, it's about doing it over a full season, right, Mitch?
What Charlie said, just shorter.
Yeah, it took a while, but you know, whatever. Whatever, man. All right, Benny, next one. Let's go. We'll be quicker.
Next one comes from Josh on Twitter, who asks, is there any reason to believe we're not heading towards another Forge and Cavalry final?
I'd say yes. I think Ottawa will certainly have a say. I think Halifax will certainly have a say. I think there's a lot more I'm going to have to see from Forge and Cavalry to be, you know, entirely convinced that they're still a step above everyone else in this league.
Yeah, we have to see what they look like when they play against other teams and not just each other.
Exactly.
And the last one comes from Twitter, from our friends over at Canucks Abroad, who shared a quote from Phil DeSantos, which was, I don't want to flirt with the line. I want to marry the playoff spot and see what that brings us. So the question is that the best quote of the 2024 CPL season thus far? And if not, what is?
I mean, it's hard to beat that. I'm not even sure what that means, really.
That's what makes it so good.
Wants to be in
open
playoffs,
to interpretation.
Yeah, naturally. Thanks, Phil. That probably is the quote of the weekend. I personally enjoyed Chris Twardek being like, just sitting down at the press conference table, and just, you could see his eyes light up. He said, I had a vision that I was going to score in front of my friends and family. It was just a very animated moment that you don't normally get in a press conference, but I actually didn't hear that quote from Phil. And I think that might actually have to take it, I think.
Yeah, I like Bobby saying that the wind blew in both directions, like for them.
Yeah.
When they're playing, we heard that earlier in the show. It was very like old man, we walked uphill both ways.
Uphill both ways.
kind of vibes, but he's not wrong. Like the wind was hilarious at Tim Hortons Field. Malcolm Shaw might have saved Christian Jack's life on a switch that went cross field, and he just barely got it with the tip of his hand. So if Calgary need a third keeper this year, it might be Malcolm Shaw.
Absolutely. All right, we are
Afshin Guppy. Sorry, just quickly. Afshin Guppy said he'll bleed for the city and fight to the death for Vancouver FC. So that was a pretty good one. I think maybe a little bit dramatic, but definitely.
So dramatic.
Vancouver fans will run through the walls for that guy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that too. That's awesome. That is wow. A bleed for this city. Wow. You know, good for him. Good for him. Always love the passion. Always love also doing this show. We're trying to keep it a little bit tighter this year. I know this is still a 40-minute show, but you know, we'll hopefully be able to cut down on my rambling mostly next week. We'll get in a groove. Again, make sure you guys send in any questions or thoughts or ideas you have are always open. And again, we're going to do this little mailbag segment at the end of every week. Benedict, thank you very much for producing. Mitchell, thank you very much for tolerating me for the last, you know, half hour, 40 minutes. And thank you all very, very much for watching the CPL Newsroom presented by Volkswagen. And we will see you next week.
Yeah, continue.